Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Pivot.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's fashion with Penelope Noir, thanks to Taddy's Ponsonby Road and High Street.
P Noir, what's happening?
Oh, you know, winter.
Righto.
Fashion.
Fashion. Fashion.
Fashion.
Hard out winter fashion.
Yeah.
Seasonal fashion.
Yeah, I've got a turtleneck on today.
Yeah, do you have a turtleneck? You do have a black turtleneck on. How unusual for a New Zealander.
I'm just quintessentially Kiwi.
I'm absolutely guy who wears black all the time. I don't know why, but slimming probably.
Yeah.
But the
same.
But to the we do once the season turns, we're all in black, eh? Black and darks and miserables, and then it's straight into the fluoros and board shorts and wee in summertime, isn't it?
Yep, totally. I'm definitely into board shorts and fluoro in summer.
Hey, what have you got for us this morning, Penelope?
Today I thought we would talk about muses, and in particular Anna Pallenberg, who passed away recently, 13th of June, just because I think muses are, you know, they're in every walk of life. They're in art, they're in music and fashion and all that sort of thing.
Do tell, because I'm not quite sure I totally understand the muse.
So,
probably ruined by that stupid band, Muse.
Totally.
And no offence if you're a Muse fan, I'm just not one.
Matt Bellamy, you've ruined it for everyone.
Is that his name? See, I don't
I
know
think
his
so.
Name.
Yeah, that's right, eh?
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
He looks like he's my height.
He's compact.
Yeah.
He is.
You call him Benny compact.
No. No, she's calling Matt Bellamy compact.
That sounds like a National Party politician, Matt Bellamy. Hey, just for a second, what about National Party politicians, eh? Classic. State of you all. Anyway.
Fashion.
Wait, come on, look, just back on that topic for a second. Where are those young gnats? Come on, let's see them. Where are the young sprouting talent?
Shouldn't they be here at the university, kind of like drumming up business?
They are, I think, but then they also have big elaborate dinners and balls and things. My flatmate used to pick at them. They were quite fun, apparently.
Awesome.
Used to pick at them. What?
pick it.
Right, I'm sorry. So, fashion. Turn to the left. Go right.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Anita Pallenberg and, I guess, muses. And there's been lots of muses in the whole wide world history of the world. And I thought I'd talk about her just because she was very quintessential to the Rolling Stones. But I think there's a lot of people that think like a muse is kind of just there to look pretty and influence people, but you know, Anita Pallenberg was actually highly intelligent and could hold her own against anybody, and especially when you think about the Rolling Stones and how party they were, she was like definitely down to party, and I think that was part of why she was such a good muse for them.
Right.
She also became a muse for Kate Moss. Like if you look at images of Kate and her fashion and what she wears and that sort of thing, she was heavily influenced by Anita Pallenberg, and they actually became friends and, you know, hung out together and stuff like that.
And she was best mates with the other kind of main muse of the Stones, eh? Marianne Faithfull.
Yeah, so they were best mates. Marianne Faithfull, of course, went out with Mick Jagger. Anita Pallenberg went out with Brian Jones for a couple of years, and they had a very violent relationship, and they broke up, and Keith Richards, like, saved her in a way, but I don't think she was a person that could have been saved anyway, because she was just her own being. And she went on to have like three kids with Keith, but they never married or anything.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, if one doesn't really choose to be a muse, does one?
No, I think they just end up being very influential because they're just so cool. And, you know, Marianne Faithfull's actually said of Anita Pallenberg that she almost single-handedly engineered a cultural revolution by bringing together the Stones and the Gilded Youth, or Jeunesse Dorée, which means Gilded Youth in French, of the London kind of cultural scene at the time. She's expelled in 1960. She grew up in Rome, born there, hung around with Fellini and that sort of thing, moved to New York in 1963 and was part of Andy Warhol's factory. So she was kind of a person that was hanging around with the cool kids. So obviously if you're hanging around with the cool kids, you've got to be cool yourself.
That's like three different sets of cool kids, though.
Yeah, so
that's
she
New York, London, and yeah. Rome.
Were they cool before she got there, or did she coolify them?
She probably added to their coolness. Probably took it up a level, turned it up to 11.
And what happened to the groups that she left? Did they retain their coolness, or did they? I'm serious.
I guess the factory, Andy Warhol, would have always just been, you know, kind of.
But did she, when she arrived, did she, you know, pimp their cool, or did it, you know what I mean?
I'm not sure.
It's probably
a give and take kind of thing, you know. But then
ebb and flow. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
I wonder how much, you know, she did take, and you know, I don't know much about the La Dolce Vita kind of early days, which is the Italian ones. But like, I guess most people know about Andy Warhol and factory, and about how it was very drug fueled and music fueled. And she met the Stones in 1965 in Munich by sneaking backstage and offering them hashish.
That's how it started.
Yes, and Brian Jones could speak German, and so because she was fluent in like five different languages, that's how they kind of so super, super smart. She did backing vocals on Sympathy with the Devil, and it was also rumoured that Beggar's Banquet was remixed on her kind of recommendation by Mick Jagger. She was also asked numerous times to write a book, and this is what I really like. The fact that she said no, because all they wanted to know is about all the sex and drugs and rock and roll, which of course that's all we want to read about. But isn't it nice that someone went, no, I'm not going to kiss and tell.
Wow.
I'm going to like keep those stories to my close friends or whatever, and you know,
them write
have
the
some
book.
Manners. Yeah, yeah. You know, that sort of thing.
Just saying, Marianne Faithfull.
I guess that's too. Oh, sorry, seriously.
Just say Marianne Faithfull's written at least two. Yeah. There's a difference of opinion there.
I guess part of being the muse is there's got to be the element of trust.
Yes.
Because if you're the muse, then if you're influencing somebody, and maybe they just, you have to wait. You can't just sort of say everything that I've influenced, you know, has been fantastic. You've got to have a sort of, as you say, give and take.
Yeah, and I guess you can't really shout from the rooftops, hey!
Check out how much I influenced that!
Look at me!
Yeah, man! That's so me!
Oh, I'm so cool.
Yeah. that's very unmuse, isn't it?
Yeah.
The modern muses?
I guess.
Do we call them it girls now, or it boys? Are they it boys? Of course it's it boys.
They must be it boys.
Ricky Martin.
You mean our Ricky Martin? Rick Breeze.
I guess.
Rick Breeze, isn't it, boy? Yeah.
Yeah, see, like, and a lot of times, you know, I kind of think that a muse should be someone who is, you know, intelligent, and not like a Penny Lane from Almost Famous, who was smart but was kind of quintessentially just kind of a groupie sort of thing.
Yeah, no.
You want them to be a well-rounded kind of person.
Yeah.
And Anita did, like, study fashion and stuff at St. Martin's later in life, and. But I guess modern ones would be like Kate Moss, you know.
I always wonder whether they Kate Moss different because she had a modelling career, I suppose. But
Anita was a model first.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, when you're really, there must be some muses whose basically job, muses plural. There must be some people who are a muse.
Yeah.
who that's pretty much their job. They just, you know, they must. Must be quite weird going, hey, so I guess today I just have to go and hang out.
Yeah.
And
talk about things.
Yeah, and just sort of be around and try out stuff and
be cool.
Come up with, like, yeah, like that's, it'd be quite weird, wouldn't it? And then if you're a muse for too long, then your skill set would be, that's all you know how to do.
And then, but what
or,
happens
or
if
does that, you have,
your
or
muse by, dies out?
By being a muse, does that, this is the thing.
You know, like
what deflated
happens,
hot air balloon.
Like, you know, lots of fashion designers have muses, and like you wonder, like, how long is that muse time for?
And what happens when a more sprightly and influential muse skips through the door?
A younger muse.
Get out, this is mine.
I'm the muse.
And starts spinning, goes, oh, she's horrible.
It's me.
I used to be your muse.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think a lot of people in the past, there's like the Manchester, oh, I can't remember rest of her name. She's like, she died in 1957 alone and in London in a bedsit or something.
This is the thing. Is
and she was very wealthy.
Is there a support group for muses, do you think?
I think there's got to be
former muses.
Yeah, former muses.
Or at least a chat room somewhere they can, you know,
yeah,
talk about. Oh, what about when I influenced them? Oh, that's funny because I influenced this person so much. And,
yeah. You know, no, but I did that.
I feel a bit. It's kind. It's there's a little bit for me. I feel a bit of a sadness when I think of the muse, because I think that's you're at the whimsy of whoever you're the muse for.
Yeah,
aren't you?
And like you can fall out of fashion. You know, like Miss Marchesa, she fell out of fashion when the 1920s came, but she was like she was a fashion muse to the avant-garde, and she used to have like take cheetahs everywhere and diamond encrusted like. Collars and things
like
that.
Best that she you can't have people like that wandering around with wild animals.
No, and she ended up living. She was living in an unfinished palace in Venice. It was the one that Peggy Guggenheim ended up living in, and but she was amazing. She's the one that had the black coal eyes, and she used to take drugs to make her eyes dilated all the time. Like. Yeah, and
oh, that's why.
Yeah, right, apparently, yeah. That's what they say. But she, I mean, the demise of the muse must be terrible. You know, like gosh, yeah, I don't know.
I just, yeah, you know, just, but yeah, you know, just it's kind of sad, eh?
Mm.
But having, you know, and also I bet there's a lot of people who blame them, you know, when if you're a fashion designer and things start falling away or your business has gone a bit shit and that, and then you just sort of, no more.
I listened to you, you were supposed to be my muse, you were supposed to be cool.
That's when they go,
not today,
leave me alone, I've changed, leave me now. Your face is not, doesn't it, for me anymore, eh? You're
just not inspiring me.
You have a dated figure now.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir. Tuesday mornings on BFM Breakfast. Thanks to Taddy's, Ponsonby Road and High Street.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.